Hi, it's Tyler from 94.7 WLS Chicago. You're listening to Adam Lepp on WGH Talk Radio.
Adam Lepp!
Well, welcome once again, boys and girls, and anybody else interested in the great radio here at the Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, WWGH1071.com. It's Adam here, coming out of your virtual listening device, and we have quite a program for you today. A unique guest who's never been on this show before, but especially people who follow social media in and around Marion, I'm sure his name and his, well, you won't see his face, but if you did, it would be familiar. Also, you might wonder, well, who is my guest today? Who is this person who's never been on this radio station previously? Someone with a presence in and around Marion. In fact, someone I think who's done a lot for small businesses. Here's a hint. And the food, eating, and dining industry in Harding Land. Well, today we have, drum roll please, DC the Foodie. So if you guys follow Facebook, you've seen this gentleman go around to restaurants in and around Marion, talk about how wonderful they are, or maybe not how wonderful they are, always have a wisecracker too, and sometimes talks a bit about himself, like apparently he's much taller than people think he is. We've never actually met in person, so I'll just take his word for it. But that's okay. It's his digestive system that seems to be very much on social media nowadays, as he is not one to be shy about his comments on the great meals that he partakes of in and around the Marion area. And so, without further ado, we're going to introduce our guest today, DC the Foodie, making his virgin appearance on WGH Talk. So, DC, how are you on this fine fine spring day?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, well, as they say, respectable and slightly acceptable and slightly irrespectable. That's pretty much how it is here. So, you know, one of the things I like about your soliloquies, I guess, on Facebook is you always greet people by saying, hello, weirdos and foodies. And, you know, DC, the minute I heard that, I figured this was my kind of guy because I'm kind of weird and I'm definitely a foodie. I enjoy especially ethnic food, patronizing and helping small businesses, and just seeing what my mouth enjoys chewing on and tasting. And you appear to have the same kind of interest. So tell us first, DC, exactly about this DC the Foodie Facebook trail of reviews and videos that you post, and let us know how you kind of got started doing that, because I think you got kind of a cult following. Certainly I'm one of your followers, and I do think it's going to continue to grow. So tell us more about that.
Appreciate it. So I started doing food reviews in about 2024. So what happened was, before that, I was doing music and stuff on social media and all that. So my niece, she knew, you know, that I was good at the marketing, the, you know, being in front of the camera. And so she was like, hey, Uncle DC, like, we should start a TikTok channel together. And I was like, okay. I said, we can do that, but if we're going to do it, like, this is, you know, we're going to make this a job. Like, we're going to do this for real, not just to play around. And she was with it. So we started doing skits and stuff. That's how I originally started with the TikTok channel and the Facebook. We started doing skits, and that was to help promote, you know, my music and all that. And so, but what happened was, I started traveling more, and she lives in Springfield. I left Springfield, and she's also in school, so the schedule, you know, started to like mess up a bit, where when I was available she wasn't, when she was available I wasn't. And what we like to do is film 10 to 15 videos at a time, that way when we're ever not able to film, that I can just post, because I'm very consistent. You gotta post every day if you want to be, you know, successful in the influencer space. And so what happened was, we started to lose content. And so I'm like, okay, I need filler content because I have to post every day. And so I did a random food review. I don't remember where. And, you know, that got some views. And then I needed more filler content probably like a week later or something, until we met up again. I said, okay, another food review. So started out with filler content. What I started to notice is those videos started to do better than the skits her and I did. And then probably like, I say 3 months, I posted like 5 food reviews just as filler content until her and I was able to get more content. And I seen that those videos were those reviews were getting me more followers. And they're starting to do a lot better. And then, so I went to my niece. I said, I think we're going to switch this over. I said, I think we're done with the skits. We can still do skits and stuff, but I think we're going to change the whole brand. We're going to make this into a food review channel. And so I started doing that. And I started doing it in Springfield because, you know, that's where I'm from. And then people just latched onto it. They started loving it. And then I started to see what it would do for local businesses. As I got more popular, these reviews would actually help local businesses. You know, their sales would go up or whatever that may be. So me helping them would also help me. And so it was a two-way street. And I said, you know, this is pretty awesome because again, like with my music, I made music to, you know, help people and stuff. That was the main goal, do something I love while helping people. And now I found this space, you know, the content creation, I can, you know, do, you know, I want to be a content creator, but I'm also have a passion for helping people. And I said, those two, you know, go great together. And I said, this is perfect. And so, yeah, they just, you know, took off in Springfield, and I probably did close to 400 plus videos in Springfield. And then I wanted to branch out into other cities. I did well over 200 videos in Columbus. And then that led me to, I gained a pretty good following in these different cities. And then this past January, I was led to Marion, and now we're here.
Yeah, quite a story there, DC. I did have a question for you. Again, we're talking to the famous, I guess we can call him an influencer. That's the modern term, influencer, social media sensation, perhaps. His name is DC the Foodie. And if you guys follow Facebook, like I do, probably follow it a bit too much, in fact, you will see that DC regularly visits restaurants in and around Marion and provides his opinion thereof with a little bit of humor and always a surprise or two. You know, Springfield, Ohio, D.C., there is a town that was in the news not long ago, and it really wasn't for a good thing, and I think you know what we're talking about. It's okay to giggle a little bit, but I did have a question, a positive question about Springfield. I've been there many times. My favorite restaurant there is the Yogi Buffet. It is a wonderful Asian buffet. In fact, I think it's one of the best Asian buffets that I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of good ones all over the Midwest. Have you ever partaken of the Yoki Buffet there in Springfield?
Yes, I have.
Isn't it awesome? I mean, I love Asian food. That's basically about 2/3 of what I eat.
Yes.
And okay, Asian buffets, if there's an Asian buffet in Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, Springfield, or Chicago, or the one in Fort Wayne that I like, the Tokyo Buffet, I have probably been there and probably salivate at the thought of it. So do you agree with me, DC, that the Yoki Buffet in Springfield is, you know, truly one of the best that you've ever been to?
Well, when it comes to buffets, I haven't really found no good buffet. But if I'm comparing that to other places, yeah, I would say that's one of my, well, that might be the top. But like overall, to me, it's not the best place. But if I'm just comparing it to other buffets, yes, I would definitely say that.
Yeah, don't let my average build fool you. I'm a pig, so to speak. I go to a buffet, they lose money on me. They run for cover, but it's okay. You know, someone will come there and have half a plate. They like that I do enjoy the food, and I've taken friends there, so they've come out ahead. But interestingly, and you've noticed this with Marion, is Marion is not much smaller than Springfield. Unfortunately, Springfield has lost some population. Marion stays at about 36,000. So if my geography is correct, Marion's got only 20,000 less people than Springfield. But in the case of Springfield, you know, still being a smaller, you know, second or third tier city in Ohio, it's impressive that they have such a good restaurant. And again, Springfield was in the news for a rather negative series of events. And, you know, like a lot of smaller towns has issues with drugs and the economy. But there are many positive aspects of these smaller cities, again, including some good restaurants, a low cost of living. And a lot of history. Springfield's got a good central location near Dayton, Columbus, Cincinnati. It's not far from where Governor Mike DeWine is from. So there's a lot to do there with a relatively low cost of living. And again, the Yoki kind of sticks out to me as a great find, because you may not expect a city the size of Springfield to have such a good place to eat. But believe me, it's one of my favorites, and I've gone out of my way many times to partake of their deliciousness. So I do think, as I'm sure you do DC, that having these restaurants, unique, reasonably priced, creative type food, really does help these small cities. And I think you've done much for Marion by going to the restaurants in and around that area. So you mentioned that you had done a couple hundred restaurants in Columbus, and then you made your way up to Marion. And I guess that is kind of the question, DC, and I think it's one that Scott kind of brought up. You're not from Marion, honestly. Many people in Ohio have never even heard of Marion, which is really a shame, because you talk about a historical place, which is quite underrated, with a very low cost of living. I mean, you know, it's a biased opinion, but Marion, I think, is one of the most underrated small cities that I've ever seen. So what brought you to Marion, where you were constantly going to these restaurants and critiquing them? I think it's a great place to do that, because Marion has acquired so many great local businesses, restaurants, gift shops, etc. What kind of brought you to become the unofficial restaurant critic of Marion?
So before I came here, I was just like everyone else. I did not know Marion existed. I didn't know nothing about this place. But I had this woman reached out to me on social media. She came across my videos, and her name is Shana Relinger. She works at Harding High School. You know, she does some great things for the community. She reached out to me on social media, was like, "Hey, you should come to Marion, do food, you know, do some reviews." And I declined. At first, I did decline. I never heard of Marion. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know where it was at.
So you were from Southwest Ohio, but had not heard of Marion.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so that just shows even people near the area. I mean, even if you've heard of it, might not be aware. You might be bigger than you thought it was. Was not aware of the connection with President Harding or the other history that we have here. So
I have no idea. And then I eventually moved to Cleveland, and I go back and forth from Cleveland to Springfield pretty often. And in between that, a little out the way, is Marion. And so one day we set it up, and I eventually did stop here. And she took me to the mall, the Marion Mall. And I was like, wow, this is like Springfield, because our mall was very similar to the mall in Marion. Well, the mall in Springfield now is gone. So I did a video on that, on the mall. Just be like, hey, yeah, this mall is empty. This is just like my mall back home. Video did, you know, great numbers. And then I gained some followers from Marion. And then on that video, people was commenting, like, you should go to Slap Yourself. It's in the mall. And I was like, I don't know what that is. I'll look into it. Went there, did that. I did a video there. And that video did great numbers as well. And the owner, he reached out. He was just very appreciative and grateful, and he was just thanking me for the video, because it helped him out with his business. And so that's what initially grew my path. You know, I developed a passion for Marion, because the same thing in Springfield. You know, we have a lot of local businesses, and I'm fortunate enough that I can, you know, give exposure to those businesses. I found out very quickly that Marion also has a lot of local businesses with business owners that are just full of love and passion. And I met that firsthand when I first got here with Slap Yourself. And then I went to the next spot, I think a food truck. And then it just kept going. And then I just grew a passion. I was like, this really is just like Springfield. Like, these business owners, you know, they're great people, great businesses. They just need that extra little bit of exposure. Again, my business manager, she was Shannon. She's the one that told me to come here. She ended up becoming my business manager after finding out, like, the type of knowledge and everything she knows. And so she led me into the right direction of all these places and where I should go and what I should do. And thanks to, big credit to her, she's the reason why I was able to do a lot of these places in the beginning. But yeah, I just grew a passion for it after I seen how grateful some of these business owners were. I was like, wow, this is very similar to Springfield. So now I just keep coming back. But now I want to go above and beyond, more above the, you know, food. Like, I just recently started, I went to a meeting today about the rec center that's in Marion. So now, you know, I grew so much love and passion for Marion with these food reviews that I want to do more than just that. But I'm sure we'll talk more about that. But yeah, that's how it all started.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting through a virtual listening device near you. And my very special guest today is the semi-famous DC the Foodie, who commutes from between Northeast Ohio and West Central Ohio. And what is between West Central Ohio and Northeast Ohio? It is the great city of Marion. And DC has become quite an aficionado of all of the restaurants and coffee shops and other small, locally owned and operated businesses in the land of Harding and Withrow, because those are the most famous people ever to come from Marion. You were aware, D.C., that President Harding, although he wasn't actually born in the city of Marion, he was born in what was then called Blooming Grove, but it's in the same part of the state, that he pretty much grew up in Marion. He was the main person at the Marion Star newspaper, and of course, although he wasn't considered to be a very good president, he did some good things, though. He wasn't a totally bad president, but he was a U.S. president, and since there have only been, I believe, well, I guess Donald Trump and Grover Cleveland, you can count them once or twice, but 45 or 46 people holding that office, and again, Warren G. Harding with the Harding Memorial just south of downtown, of course, being one of them. I assume you knew that, and also that Mary Ellen Withrow, who is a frequent guest at this radio station, definitely a good friend of Scott Spears. She was a former U.S. treasurer. That is the person who signs the left side of your money. She was also instrumental in redesigning and adding security to U.S. currency. And she is, let's say, over 90 currently and still around, still as sharp as a tack, U.S. treasurer under President Clinton. And she is a lifelong Marionite, except for the time when she spent a lot of time living in D.C. because she was working for the United States government. So many, two famous people, D.C., in government. One is still with us and still a very active member of the community and active in this radio station, who are from the Marion area. So I imagine that you knew that. Have you seen and critiqued the Harding Memorial? I'm not sure if that had been on your blog, your video blogs. There are so many. I've seen most of them, but more than likely have forgotten a few.
Yeah, the Harding Memorial, yes, I've been there. I did a video, well, like 15-second, a little highlight in the place, but also just did a music video there. But yes, I'm very familiar. I learned a lot of the history and all that when I found out about President Harding and stuff. Then I dug deep into the history, learned more about the Popcorn Festival, just a lot of stuff around here. So
yeah, there's a lot going on in Marion. And, you know, in the Mansfield area, that's at what used to be the prison, and in some surrounding towns like Upper Sandusky, the excellent movie, The Shawshank Redemption, was filmed. And you probably knew that also. So the whole...
No, I did not know that. Where was it filmed?
Well, in the Marion prison, Marion Reformatory. And you can still... This will be a good topic for one of your vlogs. Your Facebook postings is to take a tour, because you can get a tour of the filming site for The Shawshank Redemption and see where they did some of the scenes. And I also Upper Sandusky and some other nearby towns also were shown in the movie. And that's considered to be one of the best movies ever. You know, Morgan Freeman, the voice on Morgan Freeman, and Tim Robbins, the other star of the movie, another outstanding actor. So that's another of the claims to fame of of the Mid-Ohio area. There's really, as you've already discovered, D.C., there's a lot more to Mid-Ohio, Marion and environs, than people know. And yeah. I say, anybody who thinks Marion is boring or nothing to do there has not been there. Because I tell you, that you come there, you enjoy the history, the neighborhoods, the eclectic mix of businesses. You will quickly find that it's a good place to go. And again, it's being a smaller city, it's also rather inexpensive, something I'm sure you've also noticed. I mean, having gone from Springfield to Cleveland, you know the difference in what things cost and get quite a bit in these myriad smaller Ohio cities. So yeah, I would recommend that, D.C., take a tour of the Shawshank Redemption filming site, and that will be great for some of your vlogs. Yeah. Now, when you go to these restaurants and coffee shops, are you like Consumer Reports where, you know, you don't tell them you're coming, you just go ahead and go, and then out of the blue you start filming videos? Do they know you're coming? And what's kind of the inner workings of that? Because that kind of intrigued me also. Do you just kind of go on a whim, or again, is it something that's planned? And, oh, D.C., the foodie will be here. So kind of wondering how that works.
So big misconception is people think that they know that I'm coming and all that, but I say 95% of the time I literally just show up. There are some instances where it has to be planned. For example, I did one in Marion at Bucci's. It had to be planned out because they wanted to give me a tour and certain people had to be there. They basically want to give me this whole history lesson, show me around, and, you know, a lot of other stuff. So that one had to be planned out. But yes, for the most part, I would literally just walk into a spot. But now it got to a point where even if I come unannounced, they know what I'm there for. So it kind of changes the experience, to be honest, because they're like, oh, he must be here for a review. Or a lot of people be like, hey, come review my spot. And I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'll be there on this day and all that. So, but yeah, most of the time I just walk in. I try to be very low-key about it. I'm very low-key about it, actually. The only time people, you know what I'm doing is when I bring out a bright light, which I realized recently that I had to do that because for better video quality. But there are some, like a lot of times, what is one of them? Like, for example, I don't even know where I was at. But yes, just for the most part, yes. I just, people tell me where to go and I'll just pop up. Now, if a business owner reaches out, that's a little different, which that happens a lot, depending on when. Because some people want me to do certain stuff. Hey, can you come review this or something specific? Then that more becomes more so of like a highlight video than a review. Like, for example, what's that place called? Taco Central. Love Taco Central.
Yes.
I did a review on Taco Central. But now, after I get off the phone with you, I'll be going later back to them, and I'll be doing a video on a new item that they have. Now, that's not a review video. That is a highlight video. I'm basically promoting new items on their menu. So you're not going to get my opinion on the food, so it's not a review video. You're just going to get me highlighting, you know, stuff they offer on the menu. So there's different things like that type of stuff. That's planned. If you want me to come highlight your business, but if I'm coming to do a review, then it's me popping in just whenever I have time.
So that's good. You become quite a name. People are valuing your exposure and your feedback. I have a question for you on that procedure, DC, because Scott and I discussed this, and I'm not sure that what he told me is correct. Uh-huh. You know, of course, Scott's the interviewer to the stars. Interviewed everybody from Bill Cosby to the late Pat Carroll, late F. Lee Bailey. Marla Gibbs is on from time to time. In fact, she even sings one of our theme songs. So, again, Scott Spears, he quite the radio stud, to put it mildly. But, you know, even radio studs make mistakes. Or maybe I, in my infinite fabulousness, am also making a mistake. When you go to these restaurants, let's say you're going to a restaurant blindly. You're just going to go to, you know, Jimmy and Joe's Breakfast Paradise Restaurant. Let's make a restaurant up. And you go there with the intent to review. You don't tell them you're coming. Now, I imagine you come, you bring your videographer there, your light, your camera, and all that stuff. But, I mean, it's not going to be as complicated as a TV production, but it's obvious if you're coming in with videographing, whatever the word is, video-making equipment, that you're not just the average customer. And, you know, maybe they recognize you, but maybe they don't. Anyway, after all that rambling on, bottom line is, do you pay for your own food just like you would with me or any other average Joe coming in to eat? Scott was thinking that they give you a meal and you review it, which would be kind of biased because if they know you're coming, they're going to do their best possible job, of course, to make sure that the food and the service is great. But you're coming in blindly. You just pay like any other customer. I mean, obviously, you have your filming equipment. So exactly what are the logistics and what is the deal behind that? Because I wasn't sure either. I mean, I think in Consumer Reports, I mean, they buy their stuff in the open market. When they review a car, they buy it at a dealership just like we would, and they review it. If they were to get a free car from GM to review, GM's going to make sure that there are no defects, etc. Right. I mean, so in order to be unbiased, you would have to kind of buy like any other customer. So, you know, 5 minutes later after I ramble, what is the deal with that? And how would that differ from a planned excursion, like when you went to Bucci's?
All right. So, well, I'm going to tell you the first part. The first part about the equipment, I don't have equipment. It's literally just my phone. So it's just, some people might think I'm weird. I'm just always recording my food. Who don't know me? So yeah, it's literally just my phone, and then I have this tiny clip-on light.
Okay, so it's not, obviously, nothing close to a TV production. But even with the clip-on light, it wouldn't be overly obvious.
Yeah, and it comes, so as far as the food, yes and no. There's two instances that happened. Recently, I went to Baker's Pizza. They didn't know I was coming. Ordered a lot of food with the intent. Now, I'm not an arrogant guy, so every time I go in somewhere, I always assume that I'm paying. So the intention was, you know, pay. When the bill was time to come, managers came out and said, hey, it's on the house. Now, the food was good. Now, one thing about me, I am authentic. I will tell the truth whether the food is free or not. And I'll give you an example of that. The first time, again, I mentioned slap yourself. First time, that was the first place I ever reviewed, food-wise. Came in, obviously, he didn't know who I was because I'm new to Marion. The food was, it was good. It was decent. I said in the video some things I didn't like. But I paid for the food. He didn't know who I was. The second time I went back, obviously this was when I got, you know, recognition, and I went back. He wanted me to try more food. That food was free. The food was terrible, though. And so...
Well, that's odd. You think, I mean, they give you free food. They better make sure that their chef is on his or her best behavior, so to speak. And I mean, I love pizza. I mean, I've rarely had a bad pizza unless it's cold or something. So, especially if it's free,
Here's the thing with me. So, with businesses, all my services are free. I'm basically a free advertisement, basically. So, and I make it a point. They're offering me the free food. They definitely, you know, I make it a point to tell them, this is a review, you're going to get my honest. And people are always, I want your honest, even if they're telling the truth or not. But yes, I let it be known that it's 100% going to be, like, there's some reviews that I had bad things to say about that were free. But yes, for your question, yes. Half of the time I pay, half of the time it's free. There's only a specific time where I assume the food is going to be free. That's if an actual business owner reaches out to me and is like, hey, can you come to my restaurant? Then that is a different story. That is me. I'm assuming the food is going to be free because it's the owner reaching out to me. He wants to use my promotional services to, again, I let it be known very, very much so. That this is a food review. I'm very honest. But that's just how it is. No, it does not change my opinion on anything at all. Rather, the food is free or I'm paying for it. I have paid a lot of money for certain meals, and I thought it was delicious. Again, actually, I just went back to Bucci's. So one thing about Bucci's is I knew I got a special treatment. I even said it in the video. Bucci's was by far the best food I had in Marion. But I also said that they obviously knew I was coming, so they made sure they was on their game. I went in 2 weeks ago just to see if it was actually good. I did pay and everything. No one knew I was coming. But yes, it was. It was still, it was exactly how I thought. It was still amazing, the best around.
Adam here on The Talking Place with the somewhat famous DC the Foodie, who does this food review and restaurant coffee shop review on Facebook and a few other things. He has been to and discussed the Harding Memorial and, with my recommendation, maybe going to the movie-making site of the movie The Shawshank Redemption or whatever else he can find time to partake of. So I guess that was the question, DC, about the payment. So when you went to Baker's, for example, you came normally as a regular customer. You ordered your food and sat down and ate it. Then at some point they recognized you or just kind of got a sense of what you were doing. And then they were nice enough to say it's on the house. You weren't expecting it to be free.
Oh, no, not at all. They knew I was the second I walked in the door because they tried to sit me with a certain waiter. But then they grabbed the menus and put me with, I guess, their best waiter. So a lot of times this stuff, even if they have no idea I'm coming, a lot of stuff will happen out of my control and people will show favoritism, even when I'm just popping in out of nowhere.
I mean, it's good and bad. It's good that you're famous because, again, it helps the restaurants out. It helps out the community. Maybe you're going to a competing pizza place, but it's going to help all the other pizza places. Just like to me, radio. You listen to a radio station, you're going to help anybody in broadcasting because it means you're into the entire method of communication. And so once they know you, it's like, oh, that guy looks familiar. And then some other person says, oh, that's DC the Foodie. We better be good to him. Give him a free pizza, et cetera. So it's good and bad, but
That's the thing that I learned recently. Like, there's no way to change that. Even if I just go in somewhere blindly, they have no idea that I'm showing up. They're going to, 9 times out of 10, they recognize who I am. And that's when the whole energy shifts and they, you know, was like, oh, we got to do this.
Yeah, so, I mean, even, you know, as I said, Marion's not a small town. You're talking 36,000 people and few tens of thousands more in the county. But it's kind of close-knit. People do tend to know each other. And a lot of these small business owners, they know each other. And they talk. They look at Facebook.
Uh-huh.
And so you've had restaurants, I presume, have messaged you, et cetera, saying, can you come and review my restaurant? Is that increasing? What do you think about that? Does it make you feel famous and important, or do you kind of like to be more anonymous?
So this has been happening since 2024, because this ain't nothing new to me, because the same thing that's happening in Marion happens in Springfield. But, yes, the everything has increased. The messages. That's again why now I have a business manager, because now I'm going to schools to talk. I'm doing all this other stuff outside of food because of the food reviews. So yes, ever since I came to Marion, everything has increased. Rather that's demand. Rather that's, you know, can you come do this? Can you come do that? It does. It does feel good. I like that. Again, I've always wanted to do. I always wanted to have a job that I love where I can make a difference. That's the goal. I'm living my dream, but I'm also able to help people at the same time. And that was the goal for me.
Yeah, I guess it's at my age, DC, I've seen the restaurant food columns. I've seen the TV food columns, of course. I've read Consumer Reports. And now I've seen people like yourself as influencers doing videos with accompanying text on what they think of restaurants. So, you know, I don't want to ask a lot of personal questions. It's kind of fun to keep you anonymous. But how old are you? You don't look that old. I mean, you look a fairly young man from the photos. Okay. So
I appreciate that. But I'm 30 years old.
Okay, well, 30, that's young. And so, you know, you were born around 1995, 96. So you certainly are an internet generation person.
Yeah.
And there's always been the internet ever since you were wearing diapers. You've never known a world without the internet. You've seen the newspaper, although it still exists, be a shadow of itself, just like department stores. You've seen department stores that used to have, you know, have half a dozen floors, all kinds of departments, restaurants. Yeah. If they're even still open, they are again a mere fraction of what they were in their heyday. And of course, that is good and bad. I love Amazon as much as the next guy, but I also like to be able to try on my shoes and my pants before I buy them. Even if it's furniture or something I would often buy at Amazon, I like to see the item. I want to touch it and feel it, smell it, whatever. Yeah. So there's a good and a bad.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see these old-fashioned movie reviews also, obviously, counting in TV, streaming service reviews. Do you see the old-fashioned type where it is in print, it's on a magazine, or even read by somebody without video? Is that going to go the way of the dinosaur and everything will end up being through influencers like yourself? Or can you coexist with these legacy or these old-fashioned methods?
Can I coexist? Yes. I am old enough to know that. Well, I'm old enough that that I grew up in a time where the newspaper was still, you know, popping. The tablet didn't come out until it wasn't popping until 2011 ish. So yes, I grew up in a time, you know, with the still a newspaper. You know, you go to the get it out the little orange thing, put a little quarter in. Believe it or not, I actually do not like social media. It's the whole reason why I have a business manager. I'm very bad at reading comments, staying up on trends, new spots. I rarely scroll on social media. You don't see me follow. The reason, if you go to my TikTok, I follow one person, and that's me. That's my other page, because I don't watch TikToks. If you go on Facebook, I only follow a few business people. Again, that's because I don't follow people because I don't watch social media. I'm not on social media. I'm only on it for business purposes. So I am a big proponent in the old school ways. But I'm also a businessman. So I know you got to adapt over time. And if you want to be successful in business, you know, social media is the way to go. Do I like it? Not at all. Again, that's why I'm a business manager. She is she goes through a lot of my messages, comments and all that. Like, hey, you need to get back to this person or whatever.
Yeah, social media is a part of our world, whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
and I think we can coexist, but you look at the Marion Star, and you know, we know that President Harding is rolling over in his grave, seeing what's become of the Star, not locally owned. Yeah. Price has gone up, it's mostly online. There's not much there. If you want national news, you got CNN, Fox, or whatever your favorite source is. And local news, well, that's great, but the minute a newspaper hits the presses and goes for sale, it becomes out of date. Whereas the internet has all your up to date news. So it's a two-edged sword for sure. And that's why it's good to look at people of different ages, DC, and find out what are their perspectives on this. You mentioned about the malls. I was not aware that the mall in Springfield had closed, but unfortunately, malls are closing so fast, I can't keep track of them. Have you heard of that website? I think it's called deadmalls.com, where it goes through all these malls that were closed.
Yes, I have. I haven't looked at it, but yes, I've heard of it.
And it's a shame to see. Remember when Westland and Northland and Columbus closed? They were fixtures. And even some of the existing malls, Tuttle, for example, and Tuttle's not far from Springfield. And again, it is just a fraction of what it was in its heyday. And it's hanging on for dear life. And it was considered one of the classiest malls around a while back. So, it's kind of, again, I like Amazon as much as the next guy, but I do like the old-fashioned shopping experience. I mean, you're not old enough to remember this, D.C., but at Christmas time, the Lazarus in downtown Columbus was one of the premier Christmas decorations and Christmas villages in the world. What those guys did, just even if like me, not a big Christmas person, you couldn't resist being in awe of what they did. I mean, it was a world famous Christmas exhibit. And that's all gone, again, the way of the hula hoop and the dinosaur and the pet rock. But times change, and as I said, things can coexist. There will still be columns, even if it's on the internet, where people talk about restaurants or businesses. And you, what I like is not only do you tell it like it is, because you don't always say that you like the food or like the service. I mean, most of the time you do, but I have seen where you say you don't. But you try to, well, you definitely do it in a professional way with a little bit of humor, which is also my modus operandi. And you have that little quirky nature. I mean, the way that you always greet people, hi weirdos and foodies. And you know, DC, I figure anybody who greets people on his videos where he says weirdos and foodies, well, that's my kind of a guy. Did somebody suggest that to you? Is that something you kind of coined yourself, or that greeting you've kind of become famous for? Where did that kind of come about?
That is 100% me. First off, I'm a business guy. Social media is getting saturated with people basically like me, you know, food influencers. Everybody want to do something on social media. I fell into that, you know, pool. So I'm thinking, like, how can I be different from everyone else? And at a young age, you know, with my music, I've always, you know, preached. You know, I've always lived by the code: stay you, stay different, stay weird. Had a tattoo on my body long before it became a phrase. My brand I created in 2018 on the t-shirt said stay weird. It's something that I always live by, you know. At a young age, I knew I didn't want to be like everyone else. And so when it came time to, like, be in front of the limelight for most stuff, when I started making music, that was my, I'm like, this is going to be how I, you know, talk to the world. Like, I want people to know it is okay to be yourself. So I always promoted myself the first day I ever hopped on the internet. And then it just transitioned over to the food reviews. I'm like, everyone is doing, you know, food reviews or trying to be a content creator. I said, you know what, when you're doing it, you have to have a brand. You have to have a, you know, again, I'm a businessman, so you got to have some type of brand, some type of identity when you do these things. And I said, let's just continue doing what I do, but let's say it every time, you know, so they know, like, whenever you hear the word weird, stay weird, whatever, they gonna know it's me. Also, people hear it enough that they're like, you know what, yes, I am going to be like myself. So it's to motivate other people. But the weirdo, I've been calling myself a weirdo for years. And then the foodie part, that just, you know, foods, just food. And so, like, weirdos, foodies, I just combine those two.
Well, that sounds, you know, as I say, DC, normal people are boring. So that would make both of us to be of the non-boring ilk. Well, as my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun, and our time has just about come to a conclusion. I did want to talk about your music and other stuff. Maybe we'll do that on a future show. But it's been it's been great having you, DC. And again, folks, please follow DC the Foodie on Facebook to hear his restaurant reviews and other items of interest. It will be time well spent. In the last 45 seconds here, any final words for our listeners?
Again, like I always say, I just want to tell everybody, it is okay to be yourself no matter what you do in this world. I don't just say stay you, stay different, stay where. It's not just a tagline. I literally have a tattoo on my body. I live by it, and I want everyone else to live by it. You can literally be yourself and still be successful. That's it. That's all. So just remember to stay you, stay different, stay weird. Well, it's not just a quote, it's a lifestyle.
Yep, those are great parting words. Again, DC, thank you for joining us here on The Talking Place.
Thank you for having me.
Any of you fine listeners have questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, or anything else you'd like to spew forth, feel free to email me at adam@wwgh1071.com.